Welcome, everybody, to the Fins and Feathers podcast, presented to you by Winter Productions and your host, Nathan Winterstein. Well, everybody, we are back, and I'm excited for tonight because I'm by myself, and we're going to go through a very, very hot topic that, you know, I'm late to the show talking about. That's kind of because I was on vacation, and then we came back, and I've just not got around to doing a podcast. So we're going to do one today. So we skipped a week, but we're coming back out, and this is going to be about a week late on this hot topic, but we're going to talk about a few other things first. But we're going to talk about fishing scandals. We're going to talk about the big one that kind of shook the world. That is all over CNN, Yahoo, everywhere. Not much has been said yet as far as when I'm recording this about what consequences they're going to face. But referring to the massive walleye incident that happened with the two fellers from Ohio, Runyon and Kamoski. Might have said their names wrong, but They definitely did something that I can't imagine doing. And after you read a couple of these articles on them, I highly recommend you want to read the Yahoo one talking about everything. And it's just crazy that they got by with it this long. And whatnot. I'm going to put some speculation on it. But let's talk about some cheating that's been going on. And accidental cheating, real cheating and whatnot. And bass fishing. I think we talked about this with maybe Jared. Adam. And the incident with Jacob Wheeler and Alton Jones Jr. And the two rod rule up in Minnesota, which was an accidental cheating. And, you know, MLF ain't going to do anything to them. Shouldn't do anything to them. They're going to give them a little, I mean, Minnesota's giving their tickets and that's it. They'll have to pay those fines and move on. And then you have the other MLF scandal, which I don't know who it was, which was some guy who got illegal information on the first term of the year, which means he asked for information and stuff from people who he's not allowed to ask that from, and he's not allowed to talk to certain people, and he did all those things. And the guy's name, I forget, like, he doesn't like win, but I think he places up there, and he definitely did something major wrong, but there was nothing done to him. I think he was like, got a slap on the wrist. Like, they took away DQ'd him from something. I don't even know if they took back their prize money. I probably have all this wrong, but that was like, there should have been more punishments, like a suspension punishment. We're talking about fishing at the top level in bass fishing, and you're going to pull a stunt like that when you're cheating 79 other guys, assuming some of them aren't doing the same thing. We'll say 70 guys, we'll say 10 of them are doing it, but you got caught, you deserve to get. Apparently, he's done it multiple times before. He's done it a lot of different ways. And, I mean, there was text messages and everything. I mean, he deserved to get, I feel like, a suspension from the season and a fine. And maybe even any prize money he's won that year, taken back from every tournament. Maybe submit himself to a polygraph, and he has to pass that per questioning in any tournament. He can't pass it on because he asked for illegal information, then he gets fined for that tournament. I don't see why he wouldn't agree to that. I mean, you cheated and did something wrong. That's on you. You made that decision. But moving over to the walleye incident. So if you hadn't heard yet, which blows me away if you hadn't, two fellers decided to weigh in walleye and basically run away with a tournament trail event. I mean, they were caught the final day with 8 pounds of lead in their fish. And here's the thing. So walleye fishing is a little different than other tournaments. They weigh their fish in, they're dead, which is kind of weird. Because, I mean, you'd think, like, hey, you're taking a lot of boats. I mean, some of these tournaments, just quick scrolling here on this thing, I think they said some tournaments had, like, 700 competitors. I mean, that's a lot of fish. But they're donating them to food banks. So let me start there. So they do donate them to food banks, but they weigh their fish in, they're dead, and they move on. Well, you got to realize, like, you're bringing these across stage. Everyone's getting to see them go on the scales and stuff. And I think the average for that tournament was right around 15 pounds, maybe. Right about that was the average area. And their final day weigh-in was 34, 35, somewhere in there. But that they needed 6 pounds to win. So they had more weight in lead than they needed to just win. And they have now became the biggest meme maybe of the year of the fishing world. I mean, it's going to go on for weeks now. But, like, I don't understand why they chose to. I mean, obviously, there's more details that have came out now basically saying that they have cheated multiple times. And we'll get to that in a second. But, like, I think you see now that when it happened and it broke, everybody was like, oh, they've done is ever cheat. And they haven't always cheated. That was, like, noted in one of the articles I read because they weren't very good. They were average anglers. They didn't do anything spectacular. This event, they had 80 boats. It was a 7-event series, and they ran away with it. But during the weigh-in, you hear people, there's multiple videos, but there's one video where you hear people in the stands going, you know, how are they beating the average by double? Those fish don't look no bigger than anyone else's. And they weren't. They were a little bigger. The average was 15, and they were on the 20 side. So they actually had good fish. Here's the thing about it. If they didn't cheat, would they have still won? Like, that's the weights I'd love to know now. Like, were you idiots and did this for nothing? But it broke out that they, that when they were walking across stage and weighing their fish, the MC or tournament director both was up on stage with them, and he could, he thought the fishes looked big to himself. And, I guess he could hear grumbling because people were very non-hiding that, you know, it was bullshit. And they were trying to figure something out, and everybody was like, someone needs to contest this and whatnot. Well, they asked them to stay up there. And then, like, when they had one team left away, they weighed that guy, and then they moved on. When they come back up there for their pictures and stuff, they had the fish with them, and they walked down, and tournament director straight looked at him. He's like, hey, I'm going to cut this fish open, and got a knife, and they started recording it because he knew at that point something was wrong. He said he could feel the first one he picked up, he could feel weight in it. And, I mean, there's images everywhere of the 8 pounds worth of lead. But going back and finding out some more information, they had actually won that weekend. They would have won $30,000 roughly in prizes, various prizes plus cash. I think the cash was 10, and then it was like $20,000 in prizes. And then you go back a little farther, they fell to Polyarov at another tournament, not in this series, and they never found, no one knew why or who failed the polygraph or why they failed it. But apparently they had been noticed all year. They were not allowing anyone to like take their fish. Like, they weren't donating their fish. I'm sorry, I'm spacing a little bit on this. They weren't allowing anyone to take their fish. So they were taking them with them. So that was a red flag, number one, because why are you taking all these fish? Now, the thing I don't get was, why did no one ask to cut their fishes open sooner at a different tournament? Because there were a lot of red flags. I mean, the not donating fish would have been the first red flag after the second time they didn't do that. You got two average fishermen that have come in that have never really won a tournament, and all of a sudden they start going on a rampage and winning upwards of $400,000 in winnings and endorsements. They had won a brand new boat, sold it, split the money. They won an event with over 7,000 anglers in it. They won that event, which was a $150,000 boat that they sold, supposedly. And they were disqualified from the 2022. I think it was 2022. This year, which was a $125,000 Ranger boat, and that was when they failed a polygraph, and no one said what the polygraph was that they failed. And I think they said they were going to be pushing. Oh, wait, no, here, I'm reading this article as I go through this. They would have won $800,000, been up to $800,000 if they'd have walked away with that tournament. Yeah, I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, I don't... I mean, that's crazy. And the Ohio DNR has no idea. They have not released any statements on what they're going to do yet. And the real question is, I mean, it's fraud. It's attempted fraud, and it's fraud in the past if you can prove that they did that. But I don't know. Can you prove that they did all that? I mean, I have no idea how you can prove. I think you're going to have a hard time charging them for all that, but I do believe these guys are, they're going to be made example of and going to be completely ran out of the fishing industry. All their sponsors have came out with statements about how they were no longer associated with them. I mean, it's crazy to think what money did to make these guys throw it all away. But here's the thing, they threw it all away fishing against guys who just was doing it because they love to fish. Yeah, there was prize money up there, but 90% of those anglers were doing it because they love it. It's kind of like Adam with catfishing. You know, he wants to win, but he wants to win a trophy in that club first place more than anything. He's missed it so many times. He honestly doesn't care. I mean, he wants to win money, but he doesn't care as much about the money. He's not here to say that, but I'll say it for him. I mean, the money's nice because it helps pay for fuel and everything else, but they're not fishing for major money. And if they would fish for major money, I feel like he would still want to go for the pride of getting first, the crown more than the money. And these guys were, I mean, at what point do you win, you know, $400,000? You don't just walk away from it. I mean, they were literally out to take as much money as they can, and that's insane to me. I mean, there's so many times people have done stuff and cheated and stuff to break records and stuff. But, I mean, in the hunting and fishing world, you have to look at back in the day, there were multiple accounts of different bow hunters and stuff that were charged, a couple of famous ones, for taking deer across state lines to check them in. You've had the incidents where certain TV shows, they have ruined their lives because they've shot the wrong deer, then they went and shot another deer, all for the fame and fortune, which is it's fame is nice, fame and fortune, I don't know where anymore it'd be worth it. I mean, look at all these people in the spotlight. I think this podcast and everything else, the reason why we've done this is just kind of for the learning experience and the people we meet. I've got to meet amazing people through this podcast, and I'm more people I'm going to meet. got to learn about their lives and some interesting things. And that's more what I want out of this than I want fame and fortune. If I wanted fame and fortune, I would have found a way to swindle every dollar I've ever had and keep it rather than spend every dime I've ever made to just get to keep doing something that I love to do. So, I mean, that I just can't imagine that they were, you know, so let's say like that article says they were going to win 800,000. Well, they were walking away with 30, so they had over a half a million they had already won. And they were still greedy and going after it. That's, oh my God, that's insane. I just don't imagine what would cause you to think of that. I think someone did say they were getting charged with fraud, intent for fraud and stuff, because, I mean, they had technically won the tournament. They weighed in. They cheated to win. But, I mean, here's the next question. And this is devil's advocate for whoever their lawyers are. But so they won another tournament that had a $125,000 prize, and they failed a polygraph, so they lost that. How is there not fraud charges there? I mean, they didn't get away with this. Technically, they could say they never got away with it, which I think is insane. They should be charged for every dime they've ever taken. I mean, it's complete fraud. They've stole a lot of money. When we were on vacation, we were up in Ohio in Amish country, and we walked in a fishing store that was a big walleye store where we were, and there were some guys in there that were at the weigh-in, and they were talking about how, you know, those guys were nobodies, and like I said, they were just average fishermen, and then all of a sudden, 2 years ago, they start just beating the pants off everybody. Well, I think that's because they figured out a way to cheat, and they just decided they were going to do it. And, you know, how many polygraphs did they pass? How good are polygraphs that they passed all those other polygraphs but failed this one? Are they not doing polygraphs? I did see where the tournament director for that series says he's coming out and he's gonna do his best to think of ways to improve this system so that this doesn't happen in the future. He truly thinks that 90% of his anglers have never cheated, will never cheat, that, you know, it takes one bad apple to kind of make everyone be under question, which, I mean, it does. Yeah, I think now, like next year, somebody just has a good luck in a tournament. Well, they're going to be questioned left and right. And you know, the thing I hate about lie detectors is because you can answer a question, technically fail a lie detector, let me think of this. The way to say this, you could answer a question and they fail you based off the answer, but you actually didn't do anything wrong. So, guy from Texas, Coyote Hunter, he was DQ'd from a hunting contest. They self-DQ'd themselves from a hunting contest for driving in a truck with a loaded gun. That's actually legal in Texas. But the tournament was out of Oklahoma, where it is illegal. It was in their rules, so you weren't allowed to drive in the truck with a loaded gun. Well, they're on a big ranch in Texas. They drove a little ways. They DQ'd themselves because they realized what they had done. Next year, they go to the same tournament. They beat the pants off everybody and win. Well, tournament directors all said, well, you DQ'd yourself last year for that. So during the lie detector test, they're questioning them left and right until they get the answer they want. Like, would you cheat? What rule would you break? So if you was going to break a rule, would it be this rule? Well, yeah. So did you break this rule? Well, no. Have you ever break this rule? Yes. And then that's where you get yourself in a bind, and it comes down to who's that also in that instance, the tournament directors didn't like those guys and they were trying to get rid of them from this story. And this story is told from the side of the people that got DQ'd. But you got to look at it as who is in charge when it comes to these. Like, you got to, like, whoever's in charge has to make sure that they're giving an ethical polygraph, ethical rules, ethical everything in trying to keep this as square as it could be. And just kind of, I mean, let's brainstorm real quick on some rules, some stuff they could do. They could do random checks. They could do random checks right there because they're donating all these fish anyways to a food bank, 400 or 500 pounds every tournament. You could have, I assume they're sending this fish right to be processed. I don't know quite all the details, but you could do random checks on fish going in, going after weigh-in. Because here's the thing. They talked about, they also shove fillets down their fish, not just weight. So fillet, you wouldn't really feel. So if you do random fillet checks, that'll kind of make everyone have to stay a little honest because you never know when you're getting a fillet check. Maybe do the top five one day, then do the top 10 the next day. You just got to do everything you can. And I don't know. I think that would be a good start. Apparently they weren't even doing live oil checks. So that was something the tournament director said he would try to implement next year. He'd be doing live oil checks to make sure they weren't a fish from the day before. Someone caught an extra one and held one over, put it on ice and stuff. I don't know. I just think that's that tournament, they're going to do a lot to make that better. And I'm happy to see that maybe this will open up people's eyes that, you know, some people aren't going to cheat just for the money. Because if they were cheating just for the money, they'd have stopped a long time ago, in my opinion. I think they were going to make the statement that they were the best in the world, and yeah, they didn't make it, all right. They made it that they were the best cheaters in the world. I mean, I will kind of see how this plays out. Maybe we'll touch up on this in a few weeks, but I don't know. We'll see. Actually, next week, we're going to have Justin on, Tyler's brother. We're going to be talking a little bit of elk hunting and stuff. And then the week after that, I think we're going to have Ryer on to talk some more elk hunting, some filming, some editing stuff. Get a little geeked out again for some people that do like to edit and stuff. And then I think that's about it. I have lined up right now. That'll be the next 2 weeks. We're getting kind of on the back end of early duck season, trying to arrange a couple trips and stuff. But right now, man, just been editing and then shooting photos and shooting video. We've been pretty busy. So we'll keep after it. And all you guys have a nice and lovely Sunday. Thanks for listening to another episode of Fins and Feathers Podcast presented by Winter Productions and your host, Nathan Winterstein.